This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, enable us at all times, with all people, with all occasions of life. Empower us to be able to say, as Jesus calls us to say, I do not fear, I only believe. Amen. Good morning. Beatrice Hunn died this week, 95 years young. Beatrice Hunn is the mother of one of my closest friends and classmates from St. Louis, Mike Hunn. And back in 1986, when my father died suddenly of a heart attack, Mike was active in the priesthood at the time, and I was not, and immediately he dropped everything he was doing, got on an airplane in California, and came to St. Louis to lead our family through that grieving and that celebration of Dad's life at the funeral. So when Mike texted me on Wednesday telling me Mom had died, I knew what I needed to do on Thursday morning. And so I got onto an airplane and went to St. Louis for the wake and the funeral. Mike is one of 11 children, all of them very faith-filled. Beatrice, when you count up the grandchildren and great-grandchildren, there are 106 of them. And up until the day she died, she could call all of them by name. Now, it's one thing to hear that amount of people, but at the funeral, where all of them were present, and Mike, my classmate, had pretty well orchestrated all of this, for the offertory procession, only a few of them could carry up the bread and the wine, but he wanted all of them to come forward for that procession. And with a very beautiful song being sung by the little choir that was assembled, they all came up the main aisle of the church and stopped, each of them, and touched Grandma's casket and proceeded up to the aisle. It was an incredibly moving thing. Now, it's one thing to go to something like that, and you know, the kids are there because they want to honor Grandma, but church really isn't their thing. Well, it was obvious that church was their thing. Every single one of those young people from 3 years old to 13, 14, some of them even in their 20s, they were obviously churched and involved in their life of faith. You could just see it in the way they sang and knew the hymns. They all led the prayers. Some of them were the acolytes. It was amazing. And why were that way? Well, it's obvious because I knew Mrs. Hunn. She was the matriarch of that family. And in her own way, she knew of a Savior who loved her and was able to express that in such a way that other people wanted it in their life as well. Now, I tell you this story because it leads to this. Mrs. Hunn was a very humble woman. And her oldest son, Chuck, delivered the eulogy and told the story that, as she did with most of them along the way, she would just sort of slide little spiritual readings or scriptures or books to them along the way because she thought they could use that in their life. And of course, if Mom gave you something, you better read it. Well, he said that some time ago, his mother had slipped to him a copy of Thomas A. Kempis's classic spiritual book, The Imitation of Christ. It's a great book, but it ain't an easy read. It's deep. And Chuck admitted that he wasn't the most saintly in terms of scholarly understanding of theological things. But Mom gave him the book, so he said, I'm going to read it. So he says that he started to read the book, and he got into the second chapter, and somewhere in there, Thomas A. Kempis talked about a conversation that he makes up between a person and Jesus, and the person asks Jesus, what's the most important thing in life? And Jesus says, humility, to put your needs secondary to the needs of others. And Chuck says, I couldn't read anymore. He said, I got stuck there and figured I had to put that in practice in my life before I could read anymore, and I couldn't get past it. Well, the time was coming when he was going to go back to his mom and see his mom again. And he said, and as with most mothers, they can tell 10 miles away if we're telling a fib, and he knew she was going to ask him about this book. How did you like the book? And he just spilled his guts, and he said, Mom, all I could do is get into the second chapter, and he's waiting for the lecture she's going to give him for not finishing the book. And he said, I just get to that part about putting the needs of others before mine, and I'm stuck there. And Mom looked at him and said, that's exactly the place where I get stuck every time I read that book. Humility. Putting the needs of others before ours because we depend on God. This is the theme of this gospel we hear today. It is all about humility. It is all about dependence on God. We heard last week a different section of Mark's gospel that precedes this with that storm. There is another story that we skip in our lectionary cycle where Jesus heals another demon, showing the power that he has. And we come to this story that, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, is another one of Mark's what we call sandwich stories, where the two pieces of bread are one story, and in the middle he inserts another story. And he doesn't do that just for fun. It's a way in which Mark wants to make a point that he doesn't want us to miss. And so let's not miss the point today. We have the pieces of bread, the story of the leader of the synagogue, Jairus. Now, he's the leader of the synagogue. He's a big shot in the Jewish community. He's a mucky muck. He's got everything going for him. He's at the top of the social strata. And so he comes to Jesus because his daughter is ill. Now, he juxtaposes that with this other story that's sandwiched in the middle of the woman with the hemorrhages. She is at the bottom of the social strata. Leviticus 15 in the Old Testament talks about if a woman had any kind of a hemorrhage or bleeding, what was supposed to happen with her. Listen to this. If a woman has a discharge of blood for many days, not at the time of her impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond the time of her impurity, all the days of the discharge she shall continue in uncleanness. As in the days of her impurity, she shall be unclean. Every bed on which she lies during all the days of her discharge shall be treated as the bed of her impurity, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean, as in the uncleanness of her impurity. Whoever touches these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until the evening. How long did she have to endure that? 12 years, could you imagine? She's basically ostracized from society for 12 years. And add to that, as Mark says, she has taken her money and gone to these quacks who have promised that they can heal her, and she's given away everything that she has, and still her condition just gets worse. Could we imagine more on the bottom, juxtaposed against Jairus, the leader of the synagogue? So what's Mark doing here? Mark wants us to see that it doesn't matter if you're up here or down here, the availability of God's grace and healing is there for anyone who has humility, who can depend on God. Do not fear, only believe. What does Jesus call that woman with the hemorrhages by name? Daughter. Who is it that Jairus wants to have healed? His daughter. Jesus uses the same language so we don't miss it, that in God's eyes, we are the same. To be healed, do not fear, only believe. So the point I don't want us to miss today, some of us have been dealing with stuff inside of us for a long time. And some of us feel like we're at the top of the heap, and some of us feel like we are like the woman for 12 years down on the bottom. And God is saying to us, you don't have to be good or bad, small or large, old or young. All are treated the same in the eyes of God, who wants to do nothing but to heal us. Now, there is another creative twist on this story, and I don't take credit for it, but I think it's one of those stories that, if it isn't true, it should be. How old is that little girl? 12? How long has that woman had her hemorrhaging? 12. Maybe this is that girl's mother. Maybe in the situation of childbirth, some bleeding started that wouldn't stop. And here you have the leader of the synagogue, who, if he sits where his wife sat, or even sleeps in the bed where she slept, he would now be unclean, and he wouldn't even be allowed to go to the synagogue. So he has had to sort of dismiss his wife. And now picture this scene in terms of the theme of this gospel. After 12 years, in an instant, she is healed. And now Jesus takes her with his chosen few to the home where Jairus, her husband, is, and her little girl to whom she gave birth. And what incredible healing takes place. She has been healed of her bleeding. The girl has been given life. But more than anything, there is spiritual healing in that family. Now, we'll never know until we meet those folks in heaven if that's what really transpired. But it certainly is the theme of what Mark gives us in this sandwiched story. So, wherever you are today, whether you're feeling like a Jairus or feeling like a woman with something that's been going on for a long time, hear those words addressed to each one of us today. Do not fear, only believe. Amen.